Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Peter has not taken up the question of the seeming delay in the second coming of Christ. This question was raised by the scoffers, and Peter quoted them earlier in the chapter. And they said, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Where is the promise? Where is the fulfillment of the promise of his coming? It's been 3 decades or more since he made the promise. He hasn't come yet. That's too long. That's too long a time for us to continue to believe this promise. That's what they were saying in Peter's day. And you can imagine, therefore, what some skeptics are saying 2,000 years later in our day about the promise of Christ's second coming. There's nothing to that promise. He promised to come. He promised to come quickly. And he hasn't come yet, so the promise is a bunch of hooey. And you shouldn't depend upon the Bible. It's not trustworthy. That's what people tried to make out of this. Well, Peter's not trying to address the critics. It doesn't matter how correctly you explain matters to critics. They're never satisfied. They just find something else to criticize and go on. They aren't satisfied because they don't want to be satisfied. They don't believe because they don't want to believe. But God's people who want to know and understand sometimes also have questions about the second coming of Christ, and they can be persuaded by skeptics and their challenging questions. And so Peter addresses the people of God in 2 Peter 3:8 when he says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Which, as we saw in the broadcast yesterday, just simply means that an eternal God doesn't experience or view time the same way that people do. Our perspective is different, and would have to be. We've only lived a few short years upon the earth, though they may seem fairly long to us, but think about what that must seem like to an eternal God who inhabits eternity, who has existed for, if we put it this way, and this is the only way we can put it because we're creatures of time, who has existed for trillions and trillions and trillions of years, and now you're talking about just a little span? You know, what's 1,000 years to a God like that? It's nothing. 1,000 years has gone by? 2,000 years has gone by? What's that to a God who has existed from all eternity? That's what Peter is saying when he says that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. He is quoting, as we saw yesterday, from Psalm 90, verse 4, and he's just simply saying God's perspective is different because God is an eternal being and we are not. Well, let me pause to welcome you to this Wednesday, June 10 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for joining us. And thank you for your consideration of financial support. Well, he's answering the question, remember, as to why Christ has not returned yet. And in short, what he's saying is, God's time for Christ's return has not yet come. It's as simple as that. If it had, he would have already come. But because he hasn't, we conclude that his coming is yet future. It's as simple as that. The skeptic looks at what seems to be an inordinate amount of time between the promise and the fulfillment, and their conclusion is that God's promises are not to be believed. They have no validity, no certainty to them. We look at the same thing and we draw a different conclusion, unless we are knocked off balance by the skeptics, and that's what Peter is trying to do. Beloved, beloved, please, beloved, do not forget this one thing. Don't get swept up in these questions and forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Don't forget that God inhabits eternity, and with him, 1,000 years is nothing. And though it seems like a long time to us, it's not a long time to him. And he made the promise, and his word is always true. And if Christ hasn't come yet, it's because the time hasn't come yet, the time that God appointed, the time that God promised. It hasn't come yet, but it will. Don't forget this, beloved. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. If he said Christ will come again, you can mark it down. Christ will come again. Even though God's perspective on time is different from ours. In fact, that's probably not the right way to put it. He will come again because God's perspective on time is different from ours. But the second reason is because God is patient and long-suffering. Verse 10, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here is a text that has combobulated many people. You say, I don't know if I can find that word combobulated in the dictionary. I don't know if you can either, but I think you know what I mean. Now, please notice, first of all, this emphatic denial. The Lord is not slack. You can underline that word not. It's been a while since God made the promise and Christ has not yet returned, but please notice the Lord is not slack, the Lord is not delaying, the Lord is not slow, the Lord is not loitering, the Lord has not forgotten about his promise, he's not failing to keep track of things. God has not failed to keep his promise, though some may think so, scoffers, and maybe even some weak brethren who have been influenced by the scoffers. But God is not slack. God is perfectly on his divine schedule. You can mark that down and count on it. God is right on schedule, perfectly to the second. The second coming, like the first, will come in the fullness of time. Remember that phrase from Galatians 4:4? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. In the fullness of time, the perfect time. You see, a lot of people thought that God delayed in fulfilling the promise of Christ's first coming, didn't they? He made the promise, clear back at the beginning. Go clear back all the way to Genesis chapter 3 and get the first gospel, the proto-evangelium, the first expression of the gospel, where God said to the serpent that the woman's seed will crush your head. You will bruise the heel of the woman's seed, but the woman's seed will crush your head. The first glimpse, the first hint of the gospel, and you begin to go through the Old Testament scriptures and pile additional promise upon additional promise, each one giving a little more information, a little more light, a little more fullness to the promise. And God's believing people were looking for the promise of his coming, and I'm sure at times it seemed like it was an awful long time in fulfillment. I'm sure some were tempted to say, where is the promise of his coming in regard to the first coming? God said he would send a Savior, a Messiah, a son of David to sit upon David's throne, and so many other things that the Bible tells us about the coming of Messiah. God said he would do this, but oh, it has been so long. Year has rolled into year, and decade into decade, and century into century, and millennium into millennium, and he hasn't come yet. Does that mean that God was slack concerning that promise? Does that mean that God was not going to fulfill that promise? Does that mean that God had changed his mind after making the promise and forgot to tell us that he changed his mind? Does that mean that God does not keep his word? No, it doesn't mean any of those things. It just means that God's time hadn't come yet, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God fulfilled his promise perfectly, exactly, correctly, strategically, according to his timetable, and at the appointed time, the time that had been appointed before the world was ever created. It's not that God said, well, I thought I would send him here, but I've decided to delay a little bit more. And, well, I had thought for a while I might send him here, but no, I think things aren't quite right yet. We've got to kind of watch the conditions on planet Earth and wait until the time is right. And, oh, I think now the time is right. No. The Bible tells us that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. That, of course, refers to his death upon the cross. Well, if that was appointed before the foundation of the world, not only the event, but certainly the time, then, of course, his birth had to be appointed as well. It was all appointed in eternity past. There was no slackness in regard to the fulfillment of this promise. It only seems that way to us because we are but children. Like that illustration I gave you yesterday about the child in the back seat of the car. Mommy, Mommy, are we there yet? And I told you it would be 8 hours, but to a child, half an hour seems like 8 hours. But that's just because a child is a child. A child has not yet learned to tell time, has not yet learned to calculate time, to be able to understand what you're saying when you say it's going to be 8 hours. And to settle down and occupy herself or himself with games and whatever in the back seat, knowing that the time of arrival hasn't come yet because it hasn't been 8 hours yet. But to a child, it seems like it has been such a long time, it's probably been that long and longer. But that has nothing to do with the statement of the parent about the expected time of arrival. It just has everything to do with the child's immature perceptions. And that, dear friends, is exactly what's going on here. And God's not slack concerning his promise. Is some count slackness? Not at all. He's right on schedule. Christ will come in the very minute, the very second that God has appointed for him to come. You can be sure of that. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.